This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bibles to Psalm 123, where we left off last time, Psalm 123, verse 1. Now, we are now in the book of Psalms in what is called the Deuteronomy book of Psalms, which means these are the words. This Psalm 123 is in a section of songs. They're called a Song of Degrees, and there are 15 of them. We began them last time. They begin with Psalm 120, and they go through 134. And the reason they are called a Song of Degrees is found in God's Word in 2 Kings chapter 20. Good King Hezekiah was on his deathbed, and he asked God to let him live. And so God said, "I will give you 15 more years." Hear the 15? So then Hezekiah said, "Well, how do I know you mean that since I'm still on my deathbed?" See, sometimes when we pray for the sick, they don't get up right then, but it's a few days. And so God said, "I will turn the sundial back 10 degrees. So these are 15 degrees in this song, and there are 10 of them written by Hezekiah. The 15 represents the 15 years added to his life. The 10 represents the fact that God turned time backwards 10 degrees. Four of these, are written by King David, because King David suffered just like Hezekiah did for righteousness' sake, and one is written by Saul. Now, you need to know this, in the Hebrew, the word degrees means steps. Now, there are little steps in these 15 degrees in groups of threes, one, two, three. You might remember in junior high when you go into your first prom and your mom or your dad or your elder sister tried to teach you how to dance, and they said, one, two, three, one, two, three, one step, two step, three step. So these 15 degrees are divided into three steps, and they carry a theme. The first one is about distress. You're in distress. The next one is about trust, and the next one is deliverance. Then it starts all over again, one, two, three, which is exactly the way life is. You're in distress, you trust God, and he delivers you. But look out, here comes something else. As a man wrote a book, it said, life is hard and then you die. Okay, now let's begin here. This one would be distress. Okay, we did the three last time. We did distress, we did trust, and we did deliverance. So this one, 123, will be distress. Now, any kind of distress you are in, you're going to find your answer tonight from God's Word. Amen.
Psalm 123, a Song of Degrees, verse 1. Unto thee lift I up mine eye, O thou that dwellest in the heavens.
Now, King Hezekiah is writing that, and the reason he's writing it, he had been surrounded. He was a good king of Judah by the mean king Sennacherib and his top general Rabshakeh, and they had taken 46 of his fenced cities, and they had taunted him. But Sennacherib had written good King Hezekiah a letter, and Sennacherib said, "You're like a bird in a cage. Your God that you think made heaven and earth cannot deliver you." Now, you know what? That's what did it. That was too much for King Hezekiah. An elect will let you beat them to a pulp when they know they are serving God. An elect will just go on and not curse you when you write them bad letters and say ugly things and call them a false prophet or diss them. But when you talk about our God, we'll get up and fight. Because, see, that's what an elect did. Now, we know in America, we have just heard someone use the name of Jesus Christ at what should have been the holiest day in America and use it for political reasons. So Wednesday night, when we prayed for America, we had some righteous indignation, and we fell on our faces and sobbed and cried in just absolute dismay. Why? Taking up for our God. That's what you do. So that's what he did. So he spread the letter out before God and said, look what they said about you. Father God, they said that you are not able to deliver us. Well, that got God's attention. Okay, I'll tell you the end of the story. God did deliver him.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hands of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God.
The word maiden here in the Hebrew means a female slave. Now, Paul tells us that we, you Christian, are to be a bond slave with Jesus Christ. You know, God uses the analogy of husband and wife to show his love. Jesus is the bridegroom, we're the bride, but the bride would be the men of the body of Christ also. So all of us are to be the female slave, the bond slave to Jesus Christ. And so we keep our eyes on him and we wait for his attention. And whatever he says, we immediately do it. Let's take the illustration of conducting a great musical presentation. We have the violins, we have the violas, we have the cellos, we have the flutes, we have the cornets, we have the percussionists, we have the pianos, we have the organs, we have the voices. And up, the lead director takes that bond, and every eye is up there, and not one sound, but as soon every eye is looking, they are slaves to that baton. When that conductor lowers that or does that pitch, boom, there it goes. You Christians are supposed to be so attuned to the leadership of the Holy Spirit that the slightest little picture in your mind, the slightest little nuance of a 16th of a fraction of an inch of a nudge, that you'll move on a dime. Paul says, I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. You know why you're a new creature? When you got saved, you were supposed to get out and let the Creator get in. Jesus lives his life through you. Now, you'll need to develop this and ask the Lord to help you. He is forever talking to you. Right now, under the sound of my voice, Holy Spirit is speaking to multitudes of people. Are you hearing him? So Hezekiah says, we'll have our eyes on you. Now, very soon, the sixth trumpet is going to sound, and the Antichrist shall appear. Anti in the Greek means the instead of Christ. That'll be the devil with his Jesus costume on. And the whole world is going to go after him and half of the body of Christ. Revelation 13, Matthew 25, that the body of Christ that will go after him have no oil in their lamp. Oil gives light. Light is the truth, and truth is the word. But the only that little small group, the elect, will know he's not Jesus. And what we do then, we just keep our eyes focused on Jesus, on the Word. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Because after the Antichrist time, which has been shortened for the elect's sake, because the elect are the only ones who are going to know he's not Jesus, and when that seventh trump sounds, we shall look. We're waiting for the baton of our conductor, Jesus.
Until that he has mercy upon us. 3, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt.
Rabshakeh was just absolutely scoffing at Hezekiah. But Hezekiah could take that. See, an elect is highly honored to get ugly mail and threats. And I mean, that's an honor. We're going to have reward day, and all those people that wrote those are going to cry in their soup. But you see, it was because Rabshakeh also scoffed at his God. When you're fighting, Are you fighting for your God? Are you fighting so you'll be comfortable? Check it, elect. Elect, check.
For our souls are exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease.
Now, at first glance, this seems to be a strange verse, the scorning of those who are at ease. The word clue here is ease. In 1611, when this word ease was translated from the manuscripts into English, the word ease had a different meaning then than it does now. Now, if I say you're at ease, it means comfortable, doesn't it? But then it meant haughty, puffed up. Of course, Sennacherib and his top general Rabshakeh were haughty and puffed up. The Antichrist, the devil, will be haughty and puffed up. Those he's got now preparing his way are haughty and puffed up. Pride goes before a fall.
And with the contempt of the proud. Psalm 124, a Song of Degrees of David.
Now, this one is written by David, and this one will be called Trust. Now, Hezekiah went back into the archives to find this particular Psalm of David. Why? Because David had the same circumstances. The enemy was always trying to take him out. If you are an elect and chosen of God, I mean, you might have 1 minute of respite and he's sawing off the rug between you. In other words, the devil knows who fought him in the first earth age in the spiritual body. So he's trying to level the playing field. He's afraid of the elect because he knows the elect will be the only ones who will recognize him. And so Hezekiah went into archives and got this one of David because David was in the same circumstance. Now this one is called Trust. So what do you do when my mother used to say, you're between the devil and the deep blue sea? Trust in the Lord. How do you trust him? You read his word, you hear his word, and you believe his word, and then you do his word.
One, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, verse 2, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us.
Wow, have you ever had that? Wow, I'm telling you, if God hadn't helped me, I wouldn't have made it. I mean, if God hadn't helped me, I wouldn't have made it. Now, the secret word here that you want to know is men. In the manuscripts, it reads the man. In King David's instance, it was King Saul, the most powerful man on earth, and his thousands and thousands of well-armored military coming after David, who at first only had 200 ragtag men. And in Hezekiah's situation, it was the most powerful man on earth, Sennacherib, and his top general going before, preparing a way for him, like somebody on the scene right now. And they were coming after him. Now, when the Antichrist is here on earth, you will seem like a minority. You will be the minority because the whole world would go after him. But always just remember, keep your eyes on the Lord.
Then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us.
In other words, they almost got David. They almost got Hezekiah. When Jesus died on the cross, they said, death got Jesus. But Hebrews 2:14 says, Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. And Paul says in Corinthians, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, it says when the Antichrist comes, he'll be called the dragon in this case. He has play actor names. Sometimes he's called the serpent, like in the garden, but it's not a snake, it's a figure of speech. It just shows his character. Sometimes he's called a dragon. He's coming back as Jesus, as Christ. So in Revelation 12, he's called the dragon. And it says he goes after the woman with a flood of lies. The woman would be that female slave, those men and women of God who are filled with the word of God, who will not be deceived, that small minority of the body of Christ. And it says in Revelation 22, he'll go after her because, see, he's narcissistic. We'll be the only ones that won't worship him. And, of course, we're going to be delivered up to him. That's a great high and holy calling. Another teaching for another time. But Revelation 12 says, the earth shall swallow up the lies of the dragon. everybody on earth, Revelation 12. Half of the body of Christ, Matthew 25. Five virgins are wise, five are foolish. The foolish have no oil, no light, no truth, no word. They're going to swallow it up, hook, line, and sinker. But death is swallowed up in victory. Don't you swallow it.
For then the waters had overwhelmed us. The strength had gone over our soul. By then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Six, blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as the prey to their teeth.
In other words, all of the horrible words of Sennacherib and Rabshakeh to Hezekiah, all of the horrible words of Saul to King David. Now when the Antichrist is here, Jesus tells us in Mark 13 and many other places that the brothers and sisters, in other words, members of the body of Christ, are going to gnash upon the elect with their teeth. Maybe they're going to call us heretics, call us heathen, and they are going to turn us in like a prey to the one they think is Jesus. There will be a big revival in the Christian church, that Christian church deceived, who thinks that first one coming in the sky is Jesus. He's going to look like him, act like him, talk like him. Peace and safety cause craft to prosper. And they are going to turn us in like a prey to their teeth. But this is God's plan. This is wonderful. This is covert activity. In other words, then you elect holy ones who know that that's the devil, not Jesus, will be delivered up to him. The whole world will see you, your 15 minutes of fame, and the Holy Spirit will speak through you if you yield to him and don't do it yourself. And everybody in the world's going to hear whatever Holy Spirit would say. Jesus said, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world. Hallelujah. Then Jesus comes. Man, isn't that great? Aren't you proud God chose you? Ooh, I mean, the prophets wanted to, yes, they wanted to live in these latter times. What an honor, what an honor. Now you see why on Wednesday night that we're studying Acts and trying to help you to learn how not to pray just pretty words, not to say words, not to be worried about what somebody says. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you.
Seven, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler.
Now you can see why Hezekiah chose one of David's psalms, because David was always about to fall into a trap. A fowler is a bird catcher, set a trap for a bird. In King David's time, Saul's men would go before David and his ragtag men, dig a pit, put a net on it, camouflage it with leaves, hoping that David would fall in it. But you know what? God delivered David. David knew how to turn on a dime at the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, because he knew the word. You know what? It says the word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It'll keep you from falling in the trap. Now, I want to tell you, Christians, every one of you, Satan's got traps for you. Some of you have already fallen into them. Some have just climbed out. Now, you say, oh, no, I won't fall for that. He's not going to tell you to steal a bank. He's not going to tell you to cut somebody's heads off. It's going to be pretty and nice and that sweet person in your family to keep you from growing. Okay. See, it's more subtle. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to purity and totally yielding your life, the more subtle the enemy has to become. So he uses that thing that you think is so sweet and nice to keep you from growing. And he'll whisper rumors in your ear that you don't need to do that.
The snare is broken and we are escaped.
When Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, first of all, he went up there in the Holy of Holies and ripped that veil that separated God from the people and from top to bottom, ripped it so we can go in the name of Jesus. But then 1 Peter tells us that he went into the prison where all the souls way back to Noah, as a figure of speech, all the people who had been in the flesh were waiting and holding. And he preached to them and he set them free. Do you realize Judas would have been in that crowd? Don't be so hard on him. Judas repented.
Eight, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Now, if you haven't memorized that one by now, you need to get that. I say that every day of my life, help and aid. So you see, he was in distress. He trusted in the Lord. And then he says, I'm helped.
Psalm 125, a song of degrees.
Now here comes deliverance, which brings blessings and peace.
Verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever.
In Ezekiel 16, we're told that God the Father spread his skirt over Jerusalem, where Mount Zion is. Men wore skirts in Bible times. Now, God's not a man, but it was a figure of speech, meaning he married Jerusalem. And it says there in Ezekiel 16 that God says, this is going to be my eternal home. And in Revelation 21, after that 1,000 years reign of Jesus and the Zadok teaching, all of us in our spiritual bodies, it says God the Father is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down on planet Earth, rejuvenate planet Earth, and live here forever. So you see, if you are saved by Christ Jesus, and if you don't fall off to the fake one coming soon, just like God certainly is going to live forever right there in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, so will you.
2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people.
God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. In the book of Ezekiel, God calls himself the wall about us. He's the wall of fire about us. Now, you know it's interesting that in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells you to put on the gospel armor, and it says, take the shield of faith, which protects you from all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, listen, Christian, here you are. You've got the wall of God around you, the shield of faith, and you have enough faith to believe that wall will protect you. Here comes little old you-know-who, the enemy, and he's got his little darts, and he's got his little people saying bad things about you, writing bad letters to you, and hurting you, and trying to trip you up. All I can say is my daddy's fire's bigger than their daddy's fire.
Henceforth and forever. 3, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous.
Now, when Jesus comes back, Revelation 19, he's going to come back with a rod of iron and take charge, meaning power. But when Satan comes pretending to be Jesus at the sixth trump, he's going to come back with power also. But now, if you stay in the Word, you will not be succumb to this. But look what happens. He does caution you. Listen to the caution.
Lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity.
The righteous would be the Zadok, the elect. Okay, the enemy's rod will not exact upon you. You will not yield to his power. Lest, unless, iniquity means sin. That's the man of sin, perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2, that man of sin, the devil, the Antichrist, Apollyon, Revelation 9. Put forth your hand means you raise your hands and worship him. See, there is a possibility an elect will fold. Are you a hot house, Liddy? How are you taking the heat now? The more heat you take now, the stronger you will be to withstand all the wiles of the devil.
4, do good, O Lord, to those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts.
Upright, just elect, okay? And they, God will do good because only the elect, the upright, are going to be able to gather around Jesus when he comes. We're the only ones, and we're going to gather around him.
5, as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways,
fall off the apostasy. 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul tells us that there are two things that have to happen before Jesus comes. Now, there are other things that we've taught in Revelation. But one, there'll be a great apostasy. That Christians falling off from the Word, from Jesus, and falling into the deception of the Antichrist. And the second thing is that that man of sin be revealed. So he's talking about that Christians do not fall off to that man of sin.
The Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity.
This is what will happen to anyone, even though you're deceived, even though now you say you love Jesus and go to church every day. He's going to look just like him, act just like him. There's no reason you would not think that's Jesus coming in the sky unless you knew the Word of God. Iniquity, that means sin. In other words, all who worship the Antichrist then will walk into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and the angels at the end of the millennium. Be careful, you've heard it here.
But peace shall be upon Israel.
That will be when the Prince of Peace comes, our Lord Jesus Christ, peace reigning for 1,000 years, absolutely no more wars, hallelujah. I want to say, sometimes people ask me to pray for world peace. It's a waste of time. There's not going to be any world peace, and any of our leaders who are doing peace treaties don't know the Bible, and usually that's not why they're doing that anyway. But when the Antichrist comes, he's going to pretend to bring peace. He's going to say peace and safety, but it's faux pas. It's phony. So you might as well wait. There will be peace when Jesus returns, real peace, only then, Prince of Peace.
Psalm 126, a song of degrees.
Now, this one is back to distress. See, we went through the cycle there. We got delivered. Now we're in distress. And the reason for his distress here is that not only has Sennacherib taken 46 fenced cities and written the letters, but Sennacherib, who is a type of the Antichrist, has captured 200,150 of the creme de la creme, the best leaders of Judah. I mean the top church leaders. Guess who Sennacherib and Rabshakeh left? Those workers who sow the seed in tin and tin to the vineyard. Hallelujah. They sow the seed. You know what the seed is, the word of God. You know Jesus, his church is the vineyard. He left them. Remember Jesus said, when one will be taken and one will be left? The ones that were taken were taken by the Antichrist, the Sennacherib type. The ones that were left, they stayed in the field. Jesus says, stay in the field. Stay in the field, sowing the word, tending the vineyard. Anyway, this is a prayer by Hezekiah to release those 200,150 captive of Judah.
Verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream.
After that time of Antichrist, when we look up and our Lord Jesus comes in the sky, it'll seem like a dream. Whew, thank goodness.
Verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing.
We shall sing the Overcomer's Song, Revelation 15, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb is written right there in Revelation 15. The song of Moses is Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Better practice your music. Only the elect, only the overcomers will sing it.
Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. 3, the Lord hath done great things for us. Therefore, we are glad.
Okay, what we're going to do, everybody's been making fun of us, and the church folks are calling us heathen and aggravating us, and they're going to be looking at us and realizing we're the only ones around Jesus, and we're dancing and singing the Overcomer song, and we're going to say God did great things for us. Revelation 20 says we shall rule and reign with him 1,000 years. Reign means to teach. Hallelujah.
4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
So what? So the word of God. So prayers. If you have any drop of Jesus in you, you will cry and weep for the sins of other people and for this nation. And you sow in tears. Now listen carefully.
6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Sheaves means something bound like a bale of hay. In other words, you're sowing the precious seed of God's word right now while you have time, while you're in a flesh body. Hurry, hurry, hurry. The time is short. And then that word does not return void, and you bring a bundle. Oh, a lot of fruit. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, you don't know whether it went. Be not weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap if you faint not. Sow the precious word of God. It does not return void. If you sow precious seed, somebody's going to have eternal life because of that word. Are to bear much fruit. Jesus is the vine. You are the branch. He said, he that abides in me will bear fruit. You couldn't help it. It's the passion of your life to tell this world and everybody you meet of Jesus and the Bible. Hallelujah. 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 But it's time now for a mystery moment. Paul tells us to learn the mystery of God. Now remember that Jesus comes at the last trumpet out. He does not take a sneak in. They teach that. That's not true. When he comes, we're all going to see him, and he'll be the last one, the seventh trump. But before he comes, and it's about time, it's getting closer, everything is falling into place, the news is falling just right about Russia and everything, and the sixth trump, the Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on. But right now, it is the fifth seal and the fifth trump, and this is a time of learning. Joel 2 says, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Questions and answers. Question number one. Excuse me. Dear Sherry Trumpet, why in the world did they release that murderous, mean Barabbas instead of sweet Jesus? Well, the answer is in Barabbas' name. Bar is son. Abbas is father. Barabbas' name means son of the father. Now, wait just a minute, you say. But Jesus is the son of our father. But Malachi 4 says there are two fathers. At the end of the time, the anointing of Elijah will be on the two witnesses, and any other man or woman with the anointing of Elijah will tell you there are two fathers. Of course, God our Father. Cain, the descendants of Cain are called the Kenites. Barabbas was a descendant of Cain. And Cain was fathered when the devil, who's low down like a snake, beguiled Eve. Over in the Greek in the New Testament, exapatio, wholly seduced. They are two fathers. Now, those people who were saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, you've been told that was Judah. No, no, no. They say they are Judah, but they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Who are they? They are the Kenites, the offspring of Cain, Cain being the child of the devil. So why did they let Barabbas go? The kinfolk helped the kinfolk. Blood sticks together, even bad blood. They were helping the Kenite, no pun intended. Well, I did mean that. Dear Sherry Trumpet, when in Genesis, when God told Abraham to leave out of Ur of Chaldee and go to the promised land or land he did not know, where is Ur of Chaldee? That is today's Iraq. And see, that's God wanted him to get out of there. That is a devil place. That was ancient Babylon, where Nebuchadnezzar had all of that, you know, had captured the people there. That is Iraq today. And that's why I see everything, nothing, it's all coming back around. There it is. Next question. Are the elect the majority of Christians today, all those masses that we see in those big meetings? No, 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 no. Paul uses an example in the book of Romans of Elijah. Remember Elijah the prophet? And Elijah was feeling so alone in his true service for the Lord. And God told Elijah, he said, I have 7,000 alive at the end time who will not bow the knee to Baal, Baal being Antichrist. And Paul brings this in. Seven is a number of spiritual perfection. That means, it doesn't mean a literal number, but it means a small little group of people on planet Earth who have the perfect understanding will not be deceived. A very small number as compared to the millions and billions of people on Earth. You know, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus said it's a wide and broad gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. It's a straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. You show me a crowd, even though they say they're Christian, I don't go there. You probably couldn't pick out one person, and they would even have an absolute, a glimmer of understanding of the mystery of God, which every Christian is supposed to know. It's in the Bible. Okay. Dear Sherry, are the Nethinims and the Nephilim the same thing? No, they're totally different. Let's take the Nephilim first. In Genesis 6, it says, "And the sons of God went into the daughters of men." The sons of God there in the Hebrew reads Nephilim, which means fallen angels. As Jude said, they left their first habitation. We were all supposed to come from God where we were in our spiritual body, come through the womb of a woman, born from above. That's what born again means. And be born and then be in the flesh and choose Jesus or to choose the devil. But they refused to be born of women, and they married the beautiful daughters of Eth-Hadam. Satan sent them to mess up the seed line, and they produced the giants. Now, that's the, I mean, that, yes, they, that was the Nephilim, fallen angels. The Nethinims, our first mention of that would be in the great book of Joshua. Joshua was such a great leader. He'd gone in there and was cleaning out and claiming the promised land for the children of Israel. And there were a group of people right there close by the tribes called Gibeon. And they saw that God's hand was on Joshua. So they were afraid. So they put on old shoes and old wineskin and stale bread on their donkeys and old clothes, and they decided to go join him. They didn't want him to come and take over their city. They wanted to be with them, so they would. It was really to save their life. You can't really blame them. So they said, "We've come from a far country because we've heard God's hand is on you. We want to be with you." Joshua got taken. He said, "Okay," but then when he found out that they were not God's people, he said, "But I tell you what you can do. You can cut the wood and build the fire for the priesthood, for the altars." Now, when Ezra and Nehemiah went back to build the wall, you can read about Ezra. Ezra decided to do a count of the Levitical priesthood, and he could not find one. But what he found is with these wood choppers and fire burners, they were in there preaching the sermons. Remember when Jesus said the scribes and Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses? Moses, the lawgiver, the word giver? They had taken over the pulpit. Beware, beware. I hope these questions are helping you. Now, for those of you who've been calling me on the telephone, I get all of your calls, and I appreciate and thank you when you say an encouraging word that blesses my heart. A dear sweet lady yesterday, you actually prayed on the phone and thanked the Lord Jesus for me. You do not know how much that blessed my heart. Thank you very much. I'm praying for every one of you by name every day. My announcer will give you my telephone number in just a few minutes. Feel free to call me for prayer or for anything, or call me and tell me you love me. I love you. But now, for those of you who are sick, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, let the healing virtue of Jesus Christ flow out to men, women, boys, and girls. Wherever there is pain, let the pain stop. Jesus bore your pains. Let there be resurrection, restoration, reparation. Let kidneys be healed. Let bladders be healed. Let backbones and spines and livers and legs and feet and bones. Let people be healed. O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. He sent his word and healed you. Hallelujah. Now, the greatest healing of all is for your soul to be saved. If you are not saved, please pray this and mean it with me. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I repent of them.
I repent of them.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me, Lord Jesus.
Save me, Lord Jesus.
Be my master.
Be my master.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me to know your word.
Grow me to know your word.
Use me.
Use me
to bring many people,
into the eternal kingdom
of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
I love you. Amen. Now, when you call me, you might like to also call and tell me that you have been saved. I want to invite all of you to come to my school, Shari Medlock School. That's S-H-A-R-I when you're trying to look up it in the phone book. Medlock School, every Sunday, 5 p.m., word, book, chapter, verse, and line. And, of course, we have prayer and music. And a Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., another book. And, of course, we pray. We pray fervently for America on Wednesday night. Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., here at my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, 916 Florida Avenue. Now, I want you to listen to the little piano excerpt I'm going to play. It's very anointed. It's just a moment. It's the last measures of the Our Father. Because we play this, because Father, in Jesus' name, any fruit, any sheaves that have been brought in through this teaching, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Now remember this, when you think of Jesus, Yeshua, his name is called the Word of God. I love you. God bless you and keep you. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Loving arms, you are God who cannot. I cling to, but you are God. Your love still rings true after all this time. Lord, I still find, no matter what seasons change, no matter what in my life is rearranged, one thing remains the same. You are God. You are God.
Teach us to count.
tremble at your name. The oceans roar and tumble at your name.
Listening to 91.5 FM, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Yours and so mine. God.